This podcast is brought to you by Workle, a platform helping people get happier at work. Find out more at workle.co. Work happier.
I would never have thought I'd be working in a greenhouse business. If you really can love it and enjoy it and get excited about it, you just change. Your demeanour changes when you're amongst it. But last year we did everything ourselves. We grew all the plants. I was in complete control, which I liked. This year, I'm not. So I've got to get used to this lack of control. I have bits of paper on post-it notes.
Welcome to the Happy Work Life podcast, where people with inspiring careers reflect on how happy they have been in their working lives. On this podcast, we hear from a range of people working in business, startups, science, academia, media, healthcare, fashion, and much more, and find out which roles gave them the most satisfaction and, importantly, what they have done to get happier at work. So, sit down with me, Mark Price, founder of Workle, to help you get happier at work. Workle is the platform where you can find a job in the happiest companies, take our happiness test, network, and get career support from experts and much, much more.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Happy Work Life podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Nelly Hall. Nelly is the creative director of Alitex. Now, a lot of you may well know Alitex. They're very famous for their greenhouses. If you go to any posh stately home, or if you see any beautifully designed and bespoke greenhouse anywhere, chances are they will be Alitex. Now, Alitex is a family business, and one of the things I'm keen to talk to Nelly about is all of her family that are involved in the business and how that goes, but also some of the history of Alitex, particularly the fact that her family bought the business in the 1990s and then how they've developed it since. Nelly started out in a very different world, though, in the world of hospitality, and I'm keen to hear from her how she moved from hospitality into being the creative director at Alitex. Nelly, it's great to talk to you. Nelly, tell me, when you were at school, were you creative?
I was creative, but not confident, is probably the big thing. So I think I loved art. Mrs. Giles was my art teacher. She was my favourite teacher. And it was no coincidence that I also worked in her family's pub. So yeah, art was my favourite subject at school.
And so did you think then that you'd go into a career that was based around art, creativity?
It's interesting, isn't it? When I was thinking about going to university, I was really torn between a practical, do something that's a sensible job and you can learn from, or doing something creative. I was interested in stage or set design. That was something that I thought, but there was no careers advice, really. I remember saying I wanted to travel and someone saying, oh, you should be an air hostess. I thought, well, that's not really inspiring to talk about. There are other ways to travel. And I suppose I didn't have, there was no social media, there was no internet, it was just as good as the person you had a chat to who gave you some ideas. And my confidence wasn't there to forge a path creatively. So I went down a safer route thinking that maybe if I like that, if I like creativity, that will come. That's probably how I viewed it.
And so when you went to university, you did study something practical. You studied hospitality and psychology. Is that because of the work that you'd done in a pub and you thought, oh, that looks like quite an interesting sector? So did that lead you in that direction, or was there something else?
No, there was literally nothing else. I'd had part-time jobs since I was quite young and always defaulted to the hospitality industry. It's an easy thing to work in. It's a very common first job. And I thought, I don't know, I'll work in maybe in hotels, maybe in restaurants. There wasn't a huge amount of thought. And I think it's interesting speaking to my children now about going to university. And I do say doing something you love is really important because you are supposed to do some work. And I will hasten, I was at a polytechnic. I don't think I'd have got into a university. And it seemed an obvious thing. Well, I know I can work in this. I'd worked in it for years. I knew I could work. So again, a practical safety route looking forward, that it seemed like a sensible, boring word, sensible thing to do.
And so obviously then that must have informed your choice post-university. So tell the listeners about that. You finish your degree, What did you do then?
Well, I did lots of travelling, actually, because I was very keen to... I went straight to poly from school, and I'd always had a hankering to do some travel. So I worked in the hospitality industry because it was an easy way to work, earn money to go and do some travelling, and then come back and do the same thing. So I suppose up until I joined Alitex, all my work, unusually, I suppose, has been in the topic I studied for a degree, and in various guises. But I suppose I was very fortunate when I started out in the 90s working in the hospitality industry. There was this real growing new pub culture. I worked in the first ever Slug and Lettuce when I was at Polytechnic, and it was called the Slug and Lettuce at the Crown Pub in Cirencester. And I worked there for the summer because we had to do work experience as part of our degree. So I worked there, had a great time, and I thought, I like this sector. This is fun, it's vibrant, it's doing fun food. It's not a stuffy hotel. At that point, at the Poly, they were talking about working for Trust House 40 or Grand Metropolitan Hotels, something very, you know, going to work in a uniform with a name badge, which didn't really grab me. And I was really very lucky to meet an amazing woman called Amanda Wilmot. This is after various other sort of restaurant iterations, who was setting up something called All Bar One for Bass. And it was the truly remarkable journey. I worked with Amanda and a team she put together, and we opened the first 20 All Bar Ones. And I look in, you know, I read, I'm quite an avid reader, and, you know, you read books where All Bar One is a reference point where, you know, we met in All Bar One, and, you know, having been part of that. So I think I was just really fortunate that I had the sweet spot of joining the hospitality industry when there was a lot of fun to be had and some really new dynamic brands that were coming into the fore. So, yeah, that was really fortunate, actually, and it was great fun. I had a brilliant 10 years probably working with Amanda doing All Bar One, and then lastly we did something called the Ha Ha Bar and Canteen, which was a foodier, more grown-up version of All Bar One. And yeah, it was lovely. It was great working with lots of fun people and traveling all across the UK, setting up bars, getting to know different cities. So it was a great experience.
And Nelly, when you worked there, Ha Ha Bars and All Bar One, what did you do? What was your job?
My job was the brand manager. So it was, I don't know why, but I was involved with the team who were doing site finding. So I was lucky enough to go through the whole journey of each bar. So it was standing in street corners, walking around on a Saturday night going, yeah, this does seem like it's got good footfall. Taking it through to Bass, who were backing us, acquired the sites. Then I would often be in the planning process to make sure we got our planning permission. Then working with the teams on site to do the build as the sort of client in those situations, helping to get involved in recruiting the teams locally. So I'd be on the ground, say it was at Sheffield or Glasgow or Norwich, getting the teams and then helping do the team training, trying to get them ready for the you know, a launch. And then I'd go and do it for the next one. And there were ops teams who kind of continued sort of overseeing day-to-day stuff. And I did oversee all the bars on their standards. So doing a brand audit, going around doing it, I'd turn up and part of their bonus was on the brand audit, and I'd see them go, no, running around behind the scenes, trying to get everything shipshape. So yeah, it was quite all inclusive. It was very intense. It probably wasn't, I was single. I had no ties, no commitments, and it was the perfect role for that.
And in terms of your creative expertise, skills, how did they start to manifest themselves in those hospitality jobs?
I suppose one thing I was lucky with was being given the freedom to be able to have an instinct for things. And that doesn't always happen. I think I was very fortunate that we had people, the team that was being nurtured were allowed their own confidence, just in terms of, you know, how do we communicate locally with people? What print material do we create? What environment are we trying to create? So I think creativity was as much as anything in how do we build our teams? How do we keep them motivated? How do we have fun? So it wasn't obvious, you know, we didn't have a website. You know, this was pre-website days. So there was no social media. There was no, you know, it was very old-fashioned, a poster in the window or print. And I suppose just being very instinctive and then being allowed to be instinctive. I think if I'm doing something and I love it, I can do it really well. If I'm not convinced by, you know, the product that I'm supposed to be selling, and I'm probably going to find that harder. So I wouldn't necessarily be good if I worked in an ad agency or something like that. If it's like, right, market this, I don't know, Jägermeister. I'd be, I hate Jägermeister, but my face would say it all. So I think it's, if I love something, I can really get behind it and be very genuine. I think being very genuine about what you're talking about and in your enthusiastic. And I think that's what I try and portray to my kids, is what you go on to do. If you can love it, if you really can love it and enjoy it and get excited about it, you just change. Your demeanor changes when you're amongst it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. It makes perfect sense. And so tell us all about the switch then from being in brand marketing with hospitality businesses to Alitate. And I have to, there's a disclaimer for all the listeners that comes here. I'm a huge fan of Alitex. I have one of your greenhouses at home, which I've had for about 10 years, and I love. And when I go to Chelsea, one of the first stands I always go to is your stand, because I think you do them so beautifully. The stands are wonderful. The greenhouses look wonderful. So a disclaimer at the start that I'm a fan. But tell everybody who's listening how you got into Alitex from the hospitality industry.
I was opening a bar in Bristol and I met this guy called Tom at the gym. Sounds really cheesy. And it basically, my flatmate was very keen to go to Chelsea Flower Show, and Tom was involved in Alitex, had been since 1990, I think. And he said, oh yeah, I'll get you guys into Chelsea Flower Show. And we went, met Chris, one of the directors who's still with us now. He's been at Alitex for donkey's years. And he let us into Chelsea. We had a wonderful, it's my first time going to the show. And then I rang Tom to say thank you very much. And why don't I take you out for a drink to say thanks? And, you know, we got on really well. What I liked was I could talk about my world and he would talk about his world, and you'd sort of exchange ideas and thoughts. And never thought I'd work with Tom. And in fact, early on, we went to Cornwall together, and he was... his turn to drive, and he said, oh, we've just done these 360 degree reviews where, you know, we've reviewed others, but they've also reviewed us back. Would you mind reading some of the responses out to me? So I read these out and I'm going, oh my God, you know, it wasn't flattering. It was in the early days of his career when he's trying to work it all out. And I think, crikey, never going to work with this guy. But you grow and evolve. And then we had our first child, and I was very anxious about the whole change that would bring to life. We moved house. I was stopping my job at that point, potentially for maternity leave, but I didn't really know how it would pan out. And had our first child just before Christmas. I hung on to the last minute to finish work, had her just before Christmas. And then in February, March, agreed that it just wasn't going to work. I wasn't going to be able to return. It wasn't what I needed. It wasn't what they needed. So I suddenly was just restless, I suppose. And Philippa, who was the marketing manager at Alitex at the time, was doing a brochure. And I'd always loved photography. I'd always quite enjoyed taking pictures. So I started taking photos for the brochure. And I just would have a customer's name, and I'd give them a call and turn up, and I was self-sufficient. I was in the garden, so I'd had a baby. I could, you know, we could do our own thing. And it was lovely. You know, it was beautiful products, meeting people who were just loving their gardens and their greenhouses. And I've always had an appreciation for gardens and outdoors. And it just grew very organically. So then Philippa said, oh, do you want to get involved in helping me put the brochure together? Yeah, sure, I'd love to do that. And then, oh, we're looking at our stand for Chelsea. Do you want to get involved? Yep, love to. And so I've done now, 17 Chelseas, 18 Chelseas, maybe more. And for me, that takes me back to the days of opening a bar. Here's a deadline. The deadline isn't going to move. It's got to be done for them. And you want to enchant people. You want people to say what you said earlier, Mark. I've got to go to the Altec stand. It's, you know, and we get such lovely comments. And to me, it's creating a really contextual setting. And maybe it harks back to having wanted to do stage design or set design, but create this place that people can come into and get immersed in and be really inspired by.
And what can you tell us about your stand this year? So we're in April now as we talk, mm-hmm. and we've probably got about 4 or 5 weeks till Chelsea.
Yes, we've got 2 weeks until we go on site and start building. We have a 2 week period to build, and we've used the same builder now for probably about 12 years, which is lovely. There's a little team of us who know each other really well. But last year we did everything ourselves. We grew all the plants. I was in complete control, which I liked. This year, I'm not. And I'm really learning that it's fine. I don't have to be in control. But we are working with The Pig, who is just a wonderful hotel group. And they have our greenhouses in many of their sites. Where there's no greenhouse, we're very fortunate that they have chosen Altec right at the very beginning of their journey to be their greenhouse partner. And we love doing things with some of our friends and some of our kind of partnerships. And Chelsea's a lovely environment for them to show off what they do and the importance of their garden spaces as well as their hotels and their ethos behind the food. And we love championing them. So they're doing a lot of the growing and they're going to plant. We're going to be there itching to kind of get our hands in the soil and sort of help do that too. But it's going to be really a sort of taste. If you've never been to a Pig, it's going to give you a lovely taste of the Pig, but also growing your own and dining. So the large greenhouse is going to very much have that sort of lovely Pig conservatory vibe. Amber, who works at the Pig, is doing, she works with Judy Hudson, who is the amazing stylist style behind the interiors. She's going to help us do styling inside. So, yeah, I think it's going to be another lovely stand, but we'll have a different feel to it.
And do you get quite tense before Chelsea? Is it quite a nerve-wracking thing?
You always think, even though I've done it so many times, today I've been just doing the signage. And because we're working with a lovely company called Stark and Greensmith, and we're doing a modern take on like railings, just like simple garden railings, but they do laser cut steel, which they then rust and patinate. And so it's going to be quite an unusual fence. But normally my sign goes in the spot where the fencing is going to be running. So little things like that. Well, how do we do a sign that doesn't feel like an afterthought, but it's going to stand out? Because it's important that people know, okay, this is the Altec stand. And I'm, you know, obviously it's the biggest single expense we have in the year. It's a huge deal. It's a pop-up shop, the best horticultural pop-up shop in the world, I think, without doubt. But we're there for people to be seeing Altec, reminded of Altec, introduced to Altec. So signage is really important. So, you know, it's easy to forget things if you're not going. I'm a list maker. And also we have a new events manager who's joined us a year ago. And she's going to take the reins. And next year I will stand right back and watch her do Chelsea, which, God, I'm going to find hard. It's not good for one person to do the same thing all the time. So this year is sort of an overlap, and then next year I will be pulling back a bit. So I've got to get used to this lack of control. And she's brilliantly organised. She's got spreadsheets, which I've never had. I have bits of paper and post-it notes.
But it's worked.
It works, yeah. And I think when there is definitely an old school, new school in terms of tech and how you use it and it works for you. And I missed it every step of the way. So, you know, it was never at school. It was never at poly. It was never, you know, it was never part of growing up or life. I've learned to cope with it, but that's probably as good as it gets.
And what about the awards at Chelsea? How do you feel about that?
Oh, gosh. Well, last year they've changed the way they do the awards, and they used to have like the top five and a little glass trophy, which for years and years we were very lucky to have. And then they bought it in line with the rest of the awards at Chelsea. So they had Best in Show. And early on, and this is now about probably 10 years ago, we got a couple of Best in Shows. And then we got the Director General. She could choose, still as a woman, she could choose who she chose as the winner for her. So we won those. And then we had a very quiet period of not, and obviously that's, there are 400, more than 400, 800, ridiculous, hundreds and hundreds of trade stands. And you can't go there thinking about that or caring about that, actually, because that's a lovely added bonus, but we're not doing anything for that, if that makes sense. There's a lovely aspect of the pressure is not on us in that regard, because the show gardens, obviously, the gold medal and the Best in Show and the People's Choice are huge accolades that are really, really important. But for us, they should never be a focal point. They're a nice icing on the cake, and they're a nice thing that brings the team together. And last year was really special because we'd done everything ourselves and we'd grown the plants here. Even a team of us went to a local farmer and made wigwams for the stuff to grow up, and everyone planted the stand. It was a real homespun affair, and to win Best in Show last year was just really lovely for that recognition for everybody, really.
Yeah, many congratulations. The stand was fantastic. It looked absolutely beautiful. Who you are is a lot to do with you and your family. You bought the business, I think, in 1990. Alitex. So one of the questions I really need to ask you is about what it's like to work with the family, because you have a number of members of your family in the business. So would you like to tell the listeners the family members that are in the business and how that works? What are the great things about it, and what are the more challenging things of working with family members?
I work with Tom. Tom is now the chairman, because he's trying to move away from day-to-day running to be able to sort of think a bit more away from all the things that consume you on a daily basis. So we're here pretty much all the time. Then there's Tom's dad, who comes in once a week, and he's a wise old head, and he's a farmer, and he's been a very bold farmer over the years and been quite pioneering in many regards. People is hugely important, and so he will always be going, making sure we're doing the right thing by all the people here. And he sees our business from a customer point of view, as well as a very significant stakeholder's point of view. And there's Uncle Jim, who probably is the most outrageous of everybody, because he's wonderful, but Uncle Jim will do exactly what he wants to do. And no one argues with him, and he gets away with it. He keeps our grounds in good order. We've now got Eddie, who works with Jim too. So there are four of us. And I don't sit in the same office as Tom, because that wouldn't be brilliant. Luckily, going back to the spreadsheets, he's very spreadsheets and strategy and pie thinking and numbers, and I'm not. So, the only problem is occasionally if you try and have rules about not talking about work at home. But that doesn't always work. You can have rules, but I don't think anybody who works in family businesses abides by them. So I suppose the downside for me is that, life can just be all-consuming, Alitex or family, and it doesn't leave space for other things. But even though we have had, obviously, challenges along the way, I think we've been fortunate. We have an amazing team here, and we've always been fortunate to have great people, and that makes it all the more worthwhile. And we're bigger, so there's not shy of 100 people at Alitex, so it's not as if there's four of you and you're just all sitting in a room together, which I don't think I could do that level of intensity.
And when you think back over your career now, if somebody was listening to this podcast and they thought, my goodness, what could be a better job than being the creative director of a brilliant gardening brand like Alitex and going to Chelsea and selling your product around the world and selling your product into some of the most famous botanical sites, Kew Gardens, I mean, Lord knows where you are. I mean, all over the place. What advice would you give them to a job like yours?
Well, I suppose I've always been lucky. We mentioned earlier that I've worked in something I enjoy doing, and I worked my way up when I was in the hospitality sector, pot washing, chopping stuff in a kitchen, clearing tables, doing everything all the way through. And then I got to a great role at All Bar One. I didn't just land at the great role at All Bar One. You know, it was a gradual process of getting experience and not being frightened of rolling my sleeves up and getting the experience, actually knowing that you're getting something from everything you're doing. Don't discount it. You're always learning a lesson, and particularly around people, because the hospitality industry, and actually sadly in the UK, it hasn't got hospitality is the wrong word, because you don't always get much in the way of hospitality. You get functional service, you get functional food. I think, you know, we're changing. But when you look across Europe, where there's people in their 50s and 60s and 70s working in the industry, really being very charming and chatty and taking pride in what they're doing. So I think loving what you're doing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with working your way through any industry, whether it's a gardener, whether it's, you know, whatever industry you choose to go into. If you've got something that you enjoy and you've got the energy to give to it, you're always going to be learning. And I think it was just a really obvious, and your skills will transfer in lots of different ways that you may not think about. I would never have thought I'd be working in a greenhouse business. Don't worry about the end route. Just be in the now and really get what you can in the now. And just be open to what comes your way and see opportunity rather than obstacle.
And you were saying earlier, in fact, I think you said it twice, that for you, when you're talking to young people, the most important thing is to find a job you're happy in. What should people do if they're not happy in their job?
I suppose you can. The only thing you can control is how you're feeling about a situation. You can't really control other people. You can have a bit of impact. You can try and make a bit of change, but if something really doesn't suit you, and we know at Alitex we have people that doesn't quite work for, and that's fine. What we'd like to do is help them, rather than be angry and go, oh, you're not doing your job. Okay, well, what is right for you? You know, support them in taking the next step into something that suits them. We had a member of our team recently. One thing I've always done is roll my sleeves up and get my hands dirty, and I don't mind doing that. And wonderful member of our team, but gardening was not for her. Being dirty literally was not for her. She now works in the world of super yachts, where you don't get dirty, and it's a very dirty. She's thriving. She was great. All the skills here were wonderful, and we're really happy for her because she was just trying to be true to herself. And I think if you're not true to yourself, sometimes there's potential. You just got to stick it out. Sometimes it's just time to take a gear change, and there's nothing wrong in that. You know, just because you're a young adult and you don't know where you're going to go, don't worry about where you're going to go. Just what can I do now to get the most out of this situation, whatever it might be.
And is that your philosophy broadly for how you manage the team at
Alitex? I'm very much a now person. I think sitting worrying about what it might happen is fruitless. There's no, because all you're doing is you're just stuck in your imagination there. You've got no necessary fact half the time. And half of our worry comes from imagination, doesn't it? I do think rolling your sleeves up, communicating, just talking to the team. I think, you know, we try to communicate. We try to keep everyone here informed. COVID was interesting because as a manufacturing business, we had a very short time where we were closed, and then the government was trying to encourage manufacturing. We had a large open space, so people weren't working close. They had a huge area that they could work in. And then when installing was allowed to happen, again, because they're outside, they were working as bubbles. So, you know, we gradually opened the business, but office workers were at home or furloughed for a period, but we were then gradually getting back up to full strength. But our concern then was, oh my God, how are we going to communicate with everybody? So we started doing Friday updates, started doing videos where we were just, you know, this is what's happened this week, and, you know, this is the sales, this is interesting stuff that's going on in the business. And actually, we've continued to do that now. So every Friday, there's a video that goes out. And obviously, we had lockdown in March, and then we by the end of that year, we were thinking, oh, so, you know, we were going into more uncertainty as we went into that winter, weren't we? And then we decided to do Feel Good February because we thought, well, we all could do with a bit of a lift. And throughout lockdown, we did playlists. The very first Kitchen Disco was in April 2020, I think. And we just shared it with everyone. And then we did some online parties. We were just trying to kind of gather people together in whatever way. I think we were all trying to do that, really, weren't we? Just how can we be a community still, even though it's quite disparate? So, yeah, I think talking to everybody, communicating, trying to have some fun. And work is quite serious, but we don't want to take ourselves so seriously we forget to have fun and be kind to each other, really.
I think that's a great note on which to end. And for me to wish you every success at Chelsea in 4 or 5 weeks' time, and to congratulate you on all you've achieved at Alitex. As I say, you produce the most beautiful greenhouses that are seen around the world, and you are a constant source of pleasure at Chelsea to, I know, thousands of people who visit there and have your greenhouses. So, Nelly, thank you for sharing your story and thank you for telling us about Alitex.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Come and say hi. We'll pour you a nice cold drink.
To listen to more episodes and find out how to get happy in your working life, head to workle.co. Work happier.